Thank you, Pastor. It's great to be in the house of God this morning. Always good to be in the house of the Lord. I just got a privilege to be here. My wife had him come in. She was talking, some of her sisters, I think, when we got here. Her mother's in really bad shape, so she may be trying to get packed up and get some tickets to get out of here. I don't know, but pray for us. But I appreciate being here. Appreciate the church. Appreciate Brother Sam doing a great job here. I've said it before. I think probably most of it goes over a lot of your head. I don't know if you really listen to what I'm saying, but I'm just telling you, for an old man who's been around the block more than one time and basically pioneered three congregations in my lifetime, I can just tell you that God has been good to you. God's done a great work in this church and is doing a great work in this church. He is. God's doing a great work here. And I hope you understand that. I know it just bothers me. I think sometimes we take for granted the goodness of God. You know, I've been at it for 34 years. And we are, the Lord willing, Lord helping us, we're going to start building a new church this year. And that's a major undertaking. I shiver my timbers. You know, it's quite the job to build a church, and God has been good to you in just a short while. You've come from just a little metal building to this beautiful church and all this that God's give you, and just don't take it for granted. Thank God for it, and get in here and push this thing on to the top. And praise God. I've got two things I need to preach today, and they're so totally different, and I can't preach both of them, be the same man. And I don't know, it's sort of got me tore up here. I don't know which way to go, but I'm just telling you, stay here. Don't let the fire die. I said, amen. Don't let the fire die. I was testifying at the meeting Friday night there at Brother Maxson's. I was talking about there in Proverbs where it said, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. I was telling about how I was raised in the city. I was raised up close to Washington, D.C., and I had never built a fire in my life. We had an oil furnace, and you flip the switch and set the thermostat, and they come on. But I always wanted to be a country boy. For whatever reason, I don't know, we'd go to my grandmother's house. She cooked on an old wood stove her whole life. Slept on a feather tick mattress all her life. Of course, it started out when she was younger of necessity. When she got older, her boys built her a home, built her a brand new brick home, brand new. And she moved down the basement, took her old wood stove and a feather tick mattress, and that's where she lived, down there in the basement. That's the way she wanted to live. But I always was enchanted, you know, by that fire, building fires. And so when I went, I took a church in a place called Amosville, Virginia. It's out in the country. And I was looking the place over at a parsonage, and I saw this pipe going up through the ceiling. And I said to myself, man, I believe that must be where they had a wood stove in here. And so, man, I thought, man, won't this be neat? This old city slicker, it'll be a country boy for sure. Whoopee! And I'm going to build me a farm. And so news got out that I wanted to build a fire. So this guy brought this stove in he had made. God. He would have took Hercules and four of his brothers to carry that thing in. I mean, steel was about that thick on that thing. We lug that thing downstairs and got it in, you know, and got fire, got pipes hooked to it and so forth, you know. Well, and then this other guy, he dropped by and drops this load of wood off. And I thought, man, ain't this great. So I bought the Sunday paper, you know, about that thick, and I used all of it to start the first fire. You know, I bunched it all. I mean, that thing was just full of balled up pieces of paper. And I put that wood on there. And that fire was going, and man, it got to going, and I looked, and man, that old wood was a sizzling and a popping, and water was running out of it. And that guy done brought me a load of green wood. I didn't know green wood from dry wood. I just wood to me, it's a pop. Some of y'all ain't never built a fire, have you? Some of you city slickers, aren't you? But bless God, and the water's just bubbling out. Woo! But after a while, I got the hang of it. And I learned how to build a fire. But I learned one thing in a hurry. That where no wood is, the fire goes out. Now, I don't care how hot your fire was the night before. If you don't gather some wood in the morning and carry the ashes out, you're going to get cold. Now, that don't mean it's quite as much here as it does in Virginia, but we had 33 days in a row this year when it didn't get above freezing. We got 30 inches of snow in one clip, and then 6 inches 2 days later, and that stayed on for about 3 months. We had snow everywhere you could see. We had it piled up. And brother, I'm going to tell you something. Like I say, you go down around that old stove, I get that thing hot, your thing just the sides are bulging on it, you know, get the sides hot on that thing. And but I tell you what, wake up in the morning and feel a chill. Woo! My God, there wasn't no sense to get up and pat that old stove, talk about how great the stove was. There wasn't one thing to do, and that's shake the ashes out, gather some wood, build a fire. And I want to tell you, just because you had the fire last year or because you knew God last year, if you don't gather some wood, if you don't keep this thing alive, what God give you will go to nothing. Amen. You've got to gather wood. You've got to keep the fire burning. Hallelujah. Woo.
Amen.
Glory. Well, I'd love to preach on that a while today, but I think maybe I won't. I really would. And I don't know. I'm just, God. In between, I got so much, but I'm going to go here. Psalm 17 and 4, but I could preach, maybe, who knows? If I'm here tonight, I may preach on that for a while. That's just the one story. Praise God, that's just getting going there. So, thank you. If you thought you heard it all, that's just the start. Hallelujah. But anyway, I was working on it last night. I got to thinking about it some more and got to working on it. But it's Sunday morning, and there are some people here that have some needs, and I want to reach out to those here. And I appreciate Brother Sam. Like Sam, I know Sunday morning is that's when you have a mixed multitude, and I want to do what I can. I preach just like I would if it's at my church. Psalm 17 and 4 said, "Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer." Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for the word of God. I pray that you would help me. Hide me behind the cross and touch that one that's lost, God. Touch that one that needs the grace of God today. Oh, God, breathe upon me in this place and strengthen the hearts and crown this service with a mighty altar call, I pray, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. The Lord would help me this morning. I'd like to preach a little while on the path of the destroyer. The Bible said, "Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the path of the destroyer." One of the biggest lies that the devil tells young people is that you have got to sow your wild oats. You have got to some way and somehow.
Go ahead, I'll get it back.
Some way and somehow, you know, and I've heard people say, well, you know, I sowed mine and my children are going to sow theirs. Well, let me tell you something. You're looking at a young man that didn't sow any wild oats. Hallelujah. Now, no, I was never perfect. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm here to tell you, thank God you're looking at a young man that's never drank the first drop of alcohol. You're looking at a young man that's never taken the first drop of illegal drugs. You're looking at a man who did not engage in the sins of immorality, but lived a life for God. And because of that, I was kept from the path of the destroyer. And I want to tell you, moms and dads and grandmas, my God, encourage your children to get in here and serve God. Don't resign yourself to the fact that they're going to go to the far country and live for the devil. You can be kept from the path of destruction. You can be kept from the path of sin. You don't have to go down to the far country and be broken and torn and tormented by the powers of sin. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! My God, I'm confident there's more than one here that you have sowed that path. You've been down that path of destruction. My God, it would seem that you would surely say, "Preacher, man,
I don't want my children to go down that road. I don't want my son. I don't want my daughter to go down the same road I've been. The best way to do is to keep them in church. Keep them around these altars. Keep the family Bible on your table and keep praying, because the grace of God can keep your children from the path of the destroyer. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. May 2nd, 1902, Mount Pelee erupted. In that eruption, they said the town of St. Pierre was buried in mud and lava in a matter of 3 minutes. They had been warned. Somebody had told them, the mountain's getting ready to blow. You better run for your life. But they laughed at those that warned them. They laughed at those that tried to warn them. And they were buried. My God, left buried by the path of the destruction. My God, you warn men of sin. You cry, you preach, you knock, you tell, you weep, you cry. And men turn a deaf ear. And you say, I know where you're going. I see what's going to happen. But they march on in spite of the cries and the prayers and the tears and the warning of the masters. August 27th, 1883, mountain called Mount Krakatoa. The top of that thing blew off, killing 36,000 people. Yeah. Mud, but they said the blast was heard 3,000 miles away. There was a city of Batavia that was 40 miles away. Mud and ash was raining on that city at the rate of 5 feet per hour. The mud and the ash was falling down. Hear me, neighbor. Nobody had to go and tell you there's been an earthquake. No one had to say there's been a volcano. It left its path. It's left its mark. It left its scars. It left its destruction. My God, it seemed that somebody could wake up in this hour and realize there's a storm of sin. There's a wind of destruction. There's a power of sin that's destroying America. We need a revival to turn us back to the grace of God. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Shalabahakabahosa. There have been recently been a lot of earthquakes. There was a couple this week. They're having them in Chile. They're having them in China. They're having them in America. Tremors and quakes and shakes. Huh? Oh, come on here now. In 1906 is when San Francisco had that devastating earthquake, because they set right on the San Andreas Fault. Ah, hear me. Amen, they have recovered. That town has recovered, amen, from that earthquake. And life is going on. The bridges are built. The houses are built. And life's going on. But hear the preacher. They're still living on the San Andreas Fault. And any time just one earthquake could drop them in the depths of the sea. I just say, preacher, I'm living in sin. I'm getting by. I've been doing wrong and I'm getting by. Hang on, neighbor. You're sitting on the fault. You're playing with sin. It's going to catch you. After a while, sin is going to come in for the kill on your life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Woo! They had an earthquake in China, 1976, that killed 200,000 people. Huh? Yeah. They had one, 750,000. And then in Bangladesh, they had a hurricane that killed 200,000 in 1970. Oh, God. More recently, remember
Fran that churned up through South Carolina, leaving a swath miles and miles wide. Like I say, you know, no one had to get your hand and take you to, no, if you'd have drove by. Amen. No one had to say, well, it went here, it went there. No, you saw the broken buildings. You saw the trees turned upright. Are you here? My God, you could see the path. You knew where it went. My God, when are we going to wake up and realize that sin is destroying America? When are you going to wake up and realize sin is bringing you to the bottom? When are you going to wake up, young lady? When are you going to wake up, young man, and realize that sin is dragging your soul to the bottom? Hallelujah. Woo.
I'll never forget when St. Mount Helens out there in Washington State was belching out smoke and bulging out the side. They said, you better get off the mountain. There was an old man there by the name of Harry. Anybody remember Harry? He had lived in a shack on the side of that old mountain for years. He said, this mountain don't dare blow up with me on it. Well, somewhere under feet and feet and feet and feet of mud and ash, amen, Harry is frozen in time. But because the mountain blew, buried him in his house, in his body. Oh, my God, my God, my God. They said in Pompeii, when that volcano came there and they uncovered that city years later, they found men in all kind of wicked devices. As they uncovered the rubbish, they found people stealing, men and women doing all kind of despicable deeds. Time had frozen them. Time had frozen the sin. But the sin was still the same. My God, neighbor, somebody needs to wake up in this church this morning. Somebody sitting right here, you're on the path of the destroyer. Someone right here this morning, you're playing with sin, and you're broken, and you're torn, and you're tormented. My God, you need to be healed by the power of the Son of God. Woo!
Oh yeah. There's a storm of sin leaving a trail across America. It's leaving our young people marred for life. You see them? I see these poor young people, big hoops in their ears. I see some of them, huge holes. They've stretched their ears out. They've shaved their heads, covered their bodies with tattoos. Oh, God. Their faces are covered. Their ears are stretched out. They've got, you know, metal in their nose and in their tongues and in their lips. My God, my God. Stuff I used to look at in the National Geographic and think, my God, I pity those poor heathens. But it's come to America. I said, it's come to America. We're getting scarred. We're getting marred. Sin is leaving a trail in the young people of America. Hallelujah. We got minds being destroyed by drugs. Oh yeah. I said we've got minds that are being destroyed by drugs. Oh God. Oh God. I visited a girl in the hospital, I don't know, 6 months ago, sitting there in a daze. Two little girls at home. My God, what are you doing in here, gal? I don't know, you know what the deal was. Hooked on drugs, blowed her mind, destroyed her mind, left her in a mental ward. What is it, neighbor? It's just the path of sin. It's just the path of the destroyer. He comes to kill. He comes to steal. He comes to destroy. He hates you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to wreck you. He wants to curse you. He wants to turn you back. It's a path of destruction. He's leaving millions of little girls with a scarred conscience. Are you listening to me? I said he's leaving millions of little girls with a scarred conscience, because though they covered their sin, little tiny feet haunt them in the night. Cries of little babies haunt them in the night. Oh, the devil said, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. That abortion will be okay. And then as soon as they did it, he begins to haunt their mind with the cries of babies, the feet of little babies, and he scars their mind. It's a proven fact. Many of them never get over it. They're scarred and they're marred. Why? It's all part of the path of the devil's destruction. Hallelujah. Woo! You can't go in a convenience store without a beer cave or a cooler. They've been filled with ice, and young men and women dragging out case after case of beer. My God, while their little children are home hungry, a little boy's waiting for a daddy to take him to a ball game. Are you here? A little boy's waiting for a daddy to hold his hand and help him out. Are y'all still here? Waiting for a daddy. They've been to throw the ball to him and spend a little time, but daddy's got a drink. I said, daddy's got a drink. The wife's beaten. The home is broken.